First things first, your reaction, going into Sunday's championship game between Auburn and Tennessee. Tennessee had not won the SEC tournament in 40 years, Auburn in 34 years, going back all the way to 1985. What was that like from your standpoint, watching Auburn and then getting the reaction of the players and Coach Pearl afterwards? A huge accomplishment by, winning on Thursday, Friday, and then advancing to the championship game on Sunday with that win over Tennessee and beating them.
Oh, it was just huge for this Auburn program. I mean, it really was. It's one of the biggest accomplishments for the basketball program in decades. And, you look at that game and going into it, I was thinking, okay, Tennessee's, played one less game. They're looking for a little revenge after losing to Auburn 8 days earlier. And that knocked them out of a share of the SEC regular season championship. And, they're a really good team. And I just thought it might be the other way. But Auburn, you could tell from the whistle that they just wanted it more. And they were there the ones getting the loose balls, and diving on the floor, and, playing that really tough in-your-face defense. And they just took it to Tennessee on both ends. And they absolutely deserved to win that game and win that, first SEC tournament championship since 1985.
I have to be honest, I was expecting more of the version of the game that we got as far as the final regular season game when Auburn won the close game at home against Tennessee. I don't know if it was that the Tennessee win over Kentucky and they spent all their emotions and the mental energy on them or what, but they just seem out of sync. Even when Tennessee was turning the ball over, not to take away anything from Auburn, because Auburn obviously forced those turnovers, but just at times, just Tennessee just looked out of sync on Sunday.
They did, and I've heard the theory that whenever Kentucky was a championship for them, I think that's more of an excuse than a reason. But I think just Auburn deserves a credit for going out there and playing really well and doing it with, Jared Harper on the bench for 18 minutes of the first half, when he got in foul trouble. And, they're still dealing with Austin Wiley trying to return from his injury. So and then they did it, winning four games in a row. That's not easy to do no matter who the opponent is or how well or how poorly that opponent's playing.
Yeah, that was one of the things just watching, Auburn, starting with Jared Harper for one. I mean, I thought that, when you look at what he was able to do on Saturday with his 5 of 7 from three-point range, I think that his play is contagious. And if this team is hot shooting from the three-point range, then they're going to be a very dangerous out with regards to the tournament. Now, you think, it's one of those famous 5-12 matchups, knowing that Auburn on Thursday has to deal with New Mexico State. But, you get by that. I really like Auburn's chances to make a decent run in the tournament.
I do, but New Mexico State is a pretty good team. They've won 19 straight games. They're very, very deep. And, I think they're more rested than Auburn is coming off those four straight games and playing one of the first games of the tournament and having to do it at altitude, whereas New Mexico State plays at a similar altitude at their home. So I think there are a lot of little things sort of stacked up against Auburn, although, I think there's a reason that, Auburn won the SEC tournament championship and they're favored. And, I think it's reasonable to expect them to win, but I think this is going to be a really tough matchup for them.
Having a chance once again to talk a little Auburn Tigers with Brian Matthews with AuburnSports.com. From your perspective looking at the tournament now, so it comes down to you just got to win the weekend. So it's not like the SEC tournament where you're playing four games in 4 days. The most you'll play is two games in 3 days. So one game at a time. What's the approach? This is obviously where the experience of a Bruce Pearl comes into play with this team, having them prepared night in and night out.
Yes, and I think this team has had a little bit of a chip on its shoulder since last year's blowout loss to Clemson in the second round. So I think they've got a lot of motivation. And you mentioned the three-point shooting. That will be key. That sometimes they'll start out slow. They go through a period of the game when they're not shooting well. But if they can just have one of those streaks where they get hot and, make 6 out of 8 or something like they usually do, that should be enough for them, to get rolling, either Bryce and or Jared. Both of them are going, and that's really good. Of course, Chumo Kiki's also a key, whether it's three-point shooting or driving or rebounding. But You know, I think this Auburn team is ready to go out there and play hard. I think there are some reasons maybe they won't play as well as people want them to. Like I mentioned, the quick turnaround from four straight games and the playing at altitude. But I still think they have a good chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you prepare for that, and I don't know how much of a factor it will be. Auburn, you know, from a depth standpoint, that will probably help them. I mean, how much of an issue do you feel like, or does this team anticipate that being with regards to this matchup in Salt Lake City?
Now, I don't know how much concern they have for it. It doesn't seem like it's a big deal to them, or at least they're downplaying it. I just think it could be a factor, and I know New Mexico State likes to play a lot of players. They are deeper than Auburn, certainly not as talented, 1 through 7 or 8, but will play, you know, more than 10 people in their rotation. Auburn's being a little bit limited there, although they could play, end up playing 10 or 11 guys, depending on Wiley. So, you know, I think that'll be one of the biggest factors. I think you saw Auburn's bench really excel in the SEC tournament, and I think if they can play well again, you know, tomorrow, they've got a really good chance to go out there and get a W in round one.
How do you deal if you're Auburn, you know, knowing what you know, you brought up about what happened last year and losing to Clemson with regards to the NCAA tournament, the fact that, you know, from an emotional high standpoint, we're talking about, you know, winning the SEC tournament on Sunday and a huge knowing that they were able to beat a team that's one of the top six teams with regards to the odds to win it all as far as the national championship is concerned. It's great that that happened. At the same time, now you got to get back down to earth and be ready to go coming up in this matchup on Thursday with New Mexico State.
You're right, and I think they'll be able to do that. I think when you look at Auburn as a team, they're really good defensively. They create a bunch of turnovers, score off those turnovers. They're not a very good rebounding team, and they struggle against two types of teams or similar teams, teams that have length on the perimeter that can defend the three really well and defend their, you know, the picks and their screen game, and they also struggle against big physical inside players. New Mexico State doesn't necessarily have those players. That's why I think this is a good matchup for Auburn. You know, other than the issues with, you know, just being tired and being in altitude. And then we'll see after that. You know, I know Kansas is a blue blood and they've got a lot of talented players. They're not as good as they've been in the past, but they're still a really talented team.
I think it really helps, like in a situation, you know, being able to get back down to earth. Just watching Jared Harper had an outstanding game on Saturday and then maybe a little bit too anxious on Sunday, and he had to sit for 90% of the first half, as we just talked about, you know, getting the two quick fouls and having to only play, having a chance to play just 2 minutes in that first half. So I think that helps. And it's also the fact that this team doesn't necessarily rely just on one player to get it done. And I think when you have that kind of situation where you have more than one score, I think that obviously, you know, that's the additional part that, that helps this Auburn Tigers team.
Yeah, and I think that'll be big in the tournament for them. Javon McCormick, who when I saw play earlier this season, I sort of wondered if he'd, you know, he'd be able to contribute more than a few minutes a game. And he came in there and played 18 minutes in the first half and really led this offense. And they led Tennessee by 9 points at halftime without Jared Harper for most of that half. So that tells you how far he's come in the last couple of months. And, you know, Samir Dowdy and other guys come off the bench now, has been a starter, getting more production, being more consistent. Austin Wiley's starting to get a few more minutes. And when he's coming in there now, he's being more aggressive and more assertive, which Auburn really needs. I mean, even if he only plays 7-8 minutes a game, just him coming in there and being physical and rebounding and, you know, getting a few points in the paint can make a real difference for Auburn.
And the other part, too, that really stood out for me watching them last week in person was the fact that I understand that they're a really solid team being able to create turnovers. And it's one thing to know those facts and even to see them play from a television standpoint. But watching them in person up close like that, one of the things that really stood out to me is just how deceptive that is. You know, the fact that, you know, they've got the ability, but, you know, and out of nowhere, they're creating these kind of turnovers. And that's the thing that really amazed me most about watching this team in person.
Yeah, they do a great job of getting their hands in the passing lanes and getting a lot of deflections and, you know, extending their defense and making it really tough for teams to get off uncontested threes. They just really excel at that. And you saw it with Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee, every time they drive or get the ball inside or try to, there'd be a deflection or, you know, something, the ball would be bouncing around a little bit. So This team really thrives off that, and when they can do that, and they can, you know, take those turnovers and you know, turn that into a fast break and the points, that's when they're really playing at their best, when they're running and gunning. And, you know, I think everybody's seen that highlight where I think it was Jared Harper who basically passed on a layup and threw it out to Bryce on a fast break, and he nailed the three there late in the
right.
Tennessee game. But that's just sort of who they are. And that's when they're at their best, when they're creating those turnovers and getting up and down the floor.
Well, and even when they're not creating the turnovers, you know, just certainly notice this, especially when you're trying to establish yourself in the first 20 minutes, is the fact that they were able to get Tennessee out of rhythm, where they were still getting, you know, open shots, but it was after they just, you know, it was because of a defensive move by Auburn. They had to take the extra dribble, and it wasn't the same kind of flow and the same kind of shot opportunities that they were getting, say, even against Kentucky, for example, the day before.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, you know, when Auburn starts having success, it sort of builds on it because it frustrates the other team and they start making more mistakes. And I think you definitely saw it with Tennessee. They really sort of, you know, when Auburn went up by, I think it was 23 in the second half, you could tell they were just really, really frustrated. And even when they started making a little run on their own, you know, Auburn got hot there and they'd hit a three to cut it to 15, and then Auburn would come right back down and throw up a three and nail it, and, you know, back up to 18. It was like that for about a 4 or 5 minute stretch there in the second half. And you know that had to really frustrate Tennessee.
Brian Matthews joining us again. All right, so last week, Gus Malzahn in the house as well, cheering on the Auburn Tigers. The big question marks, first, I guess it starts with, who's playing quarterback this year for Auburn?
It is a four-team battle right now. And at least to start out spring, all four guys are going to have equal reps. You know, I think eventually they'll have to change that at some point this spring and cut it down to two or three. But that's how it is to start out with. You know, in my mind, in my opinion, the two guys who watch the closest now are true freshman Bo Nix. You know, the first five-star quarterback Auburn signed since Cam Newton. He enrolled in January and is going to be right there in the thick of things for that number one job. And then Joey Gatewood, who, you know, was a big 6'5", 230-plus pound quarterback who looks more like Cam Newton than any quarterback Auburn signed since then. I'm not saying he can throw the ball or be as successful as Cam Newton. I'm just saying physically he looks a lot like him and has some of the same skills. If he can come out there and show that, you know, he can throw the ball consistently, especially handle it, you know, when Auburn's in 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 12 or whatever, I think he can really make a push for that job too and bring that dual threat dimension back to the Auburn lineup. We'll see.
Did the blowout win over Purdue and the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl take a little bit of the sting off of what the anticipation of last year was going to be for the Auburn Tigers as far as the way the fans look at this Auburn team going into 2019?
I think it did take a little sting off of it, and I think it also showed maybe a preview of what Gus wants this offense to look like again. I mean, they went at pace against Purdue. I know Purdue wasn't very good, and Auburn overwhelmed them with talent. But they also overwhelmed them with the pace, and their, you know, hurry up, no huddle offense was sort of back to where it was back in 2013-14. We haven't seen that consistently since then. It's been 5 years. So I think he really wants to get back to that. However, I think a lot of Auburn fans would be like, well, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. And I think that's true. But I think for the first time I'm hearing him say it without being prompted to say it. And I think it's a real priority for him. So if that was a preview of what's to come, I think there's a reason to be excited because, you know, when Gus Malzahn as a play caller, as an offensive coordinator, he's proven to be really good. He set plenty of SEC records. Auburn's offense in 2010 and 2013 and 14 was one of the best offenses in the country and one of the best offenses all time in the conference. So when he's at his best and when he's running things that way, they can be really, really good.
I mean, that's the other part of it, too, when the fans are watching what Auburn is doing in the bowl game and going, you know, it's nice to see that. At the same time, in the same breath, you're going, where was this all season?
I've been writing that and saying that for the past 5 years. I do not know. That's a great question. But, you know, it's hard to break down the mentality of Gus and what he's thinking. But I think overall they got too caught up in trying to get the right personnel for different matchups and substituting. And when you do that, that totally implodes a hurry-up, no-huddle offense. You've got to put the same 11 on the field at first down and 10 at your own 20, and you got to keep those guys all the way into the, you know, into the end zone or wherever that drive ends. You can't be substituting all the time. It allows the defense to substitute, and it just slows down everything.